God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Developing the leader within you. How many of you have ever heard of Dr. John Maxwell? You ever heard of that author? Very, very prolific author. Not only with church leadership, but with organizational leadership as a whole. He's got multiple books that he has written. Following discussion we had during our department heads meeting, I began doing a little study and research trying to find some of the things that we talked about. And I went on Pentecostal Publishing website and started looking at some of their material and their resources. And one of the things that they do through our organization, and they do this, I know of a number of churches that have done this, is this thing called Purpose Institute, where it's like college level curriculum and courses that are taught to churches, and there even maybe some credits depending on what the study is. And so I began to look into that a little bit more in wanting to flesh out the ideas for what we're talking about on Sunday night, which is there's more to come on that. But in that process, I guess you'd say I tripped over this book, and I pulled it up, and I began to look at it and realized it was in the teaching of Purpose Institute. So I quickly, you know, said, well, if our organization has vetted it, then it's something that I would be comfortable in looking into. And so I began to read, and right during the introduction, like the first part of the book and the first chapter of the book, I even told my wife after reading, I said, man, I said, it's kind of daunting, because it's already showing me that there's a lot of leadership that I don't have, that I need to develop in my life. And so it's if nothing else, this is going to be challenging for me. So you may just have to endure all this teaching, because I need to know it myself. But if you were to boil it down, essentially what this is talking about is that each and every one of us have within us the ability to lead. And lead correctly, and lead in such a way that it is beneficial to not only ourselves, but those around about us. And so, as I began to, and I didn't get very far into the book until I started highlighting everywhere, and I read books on the iPad quite a bit, and it's got a cool feature you can highlight and then put notes, and so sometimes it takes me a while to get through a chapter because of all the highlights and the notes that I do in the book. And so I realized right away, wow, this may be a very long study. But hopefully you'll find it beneficial to you. And hopefully you'll come to understand, as I'm coming to understand, there's a lot to be desired in what it means to be an effective leader in my life. I'm just going to be candid with you. As I read the pages, I realized, wait a second. You may be an effective manager in some sense of the word, but effective leader, there's a difference, and to understand that difference and how that works is really what we're going to do. But I want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture. It's found in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 7. We're going to do it in the King James Version, then I want you to look at it in the New Living Translation. It says, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. New Living Translation reads like this. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. If you play that out to its obvious conclusion, if I follow the example of their faith, then I in turn also become a leader for other people to follow as they think of all the good that has come from my life. And as a result, they become a leader who other people follow as a result of all the good that comes from their life. And so the thought is here is the process perpetuates. That as you learn from leaders, you become a leader yourself and you lead others. And the hope is that it perpetuates, it continues. That I don't just take from people who have taught me and who have led me and let it die with me. Man, I got real quiet in here. But then I use that and I figure out how, through the process, through emulating their faith and being as they are or were in my life, I seek to do that through me to someone else, to lead someone else. So we're talking about developing the leader in you. What does it mean to be a leader? And you say, well, I'm not a leader. Well, just hang on. Well, you know, leadership's not something that I do. Well, just stay with me. Maybe it's not what you think it is, in the sense of, a lot of times when we think of leadership, we think of a position. Think of somebody who has a certain designation, if you will, and that individual is a leader. But while a position is a type of leader, it's essentially the lowest level of leadership. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into five different levels of leadership and what it means and how those things happen and how we can advance our ability to lead. But the whole point is this. To truly be a successful leader means that I have reproduced others who know how to effectively lead. The effectiveness of one's work will never rise above one's ability to lead. That's a pretty strong statement. But the effectiveness of one's work, you might even say this, the success or the mark of success, or for one to be considered successful, will only rise to the level of one's ability to lead. I will only be as successful in my different roles that we talked about. I will only be effective, if you will, in those particular roles that God has placed in my life to the level of my ability to lead in that role. Can I lead in that role in such a way that I am impacting and influencing others and they are impacting and influencing others? Can I truly be an effective leader in the lives of other people? Now, here's the thing. This is not just in relation to developing or mentoring or discipling people. It's also in relation to maybe some of our workplaces and some of the opportunities that we may have as a result of developing a leader within us. To recognize that there's traits that can be taught and that can be learned where I can develop into a good leader. Developing the leader in you. You see, most people have a desire to look for the exception instead of the desire to become exceptional. Anybody have any idea what I mean by that? Most people have a desire to look for the exception instead of the desire to become exceptional. Yes, very true. Because here's the thing. That word exception, we a lot of times couple it with exemption. If I find the exception, then I am exempt from the responsibility or the accountability that comes with leading. So rather than the desire to become exceptional, we desire the exception. It gives us validity for not rising up. It gives us some credibility for staying at the status quo. It gives us some credence, if you will, to continue in mediocrity because we can find the exception. Rather than finding the way to be exceptional. In my role as a father, am I just going to be a good father or am I going to be an exceptional father? In my role as a husband, am I going to be a good husband or am I going to be an exceptional husband? Am I going to say, well, that's why the Bible talks about if we measure ourselves among ourselves, we're fools. If I'm going to just try to be a good father, I'm just going to try to maintain the status quo in what it means to be a father, what it means to be a husband, or even what it means to be a pastor, whatever that specific role is that God has placed in my life. If I'm just okay with being the status quo, guess what? I am looking for the exception rather than the desire to become exceptional. And so you're exactly right. We find the excuses. Because it's much easier to find the excuse than it is to find the self-discipline to become exceptional. Let's face it. It's a lot easier. It's the road, what? More traveled. The road less traveled is to become exceptional. The road less traveled is the one that says, hey, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to have the desire to become exceptional rather than the desire just to find the exception. Just to find the excuse. To find the way that I can exempt myself from doing what I should and could do as an effective leader. In my home, in my workplace, in my social circles, in the church, whatever that specific role, whatever that opportunity is. Do I seize the opportunity? Do I say there is a possibility for me to learn how to become exceptional in that role? Or do I desire just to be an exception? That's a pretty weighty question. Leonard Ravenhill, author in the Last Days newsletter, had this story. He said, one day a group of tourists was visiting a picturesque village, and as they walked by an old man sitting beside a fence, one tourist asked in a rather patronizing way, were any great men born in this village? The old man replied, nope, only babies. Were any great men born in this village? Nope, only babies. Now, what is the sage old wisdom in that elder? Everybody starts somewhere. No, they were only babies. Only babies were born. Did some of those babies become exceptional men? Yes. But they were babies. Leadership is not an exclusive club for those born with it. Now here's it. That's one of those exceptions we look for. Oh, so-and-so is born with it. Oh, so-and-so just has that natural ability to lead. Oh, so-and-so just has that charismatic personality, and they have that way with people, and they have that chutzpah. They have whatever it is that causes other people to just, you know, it's like moths to a flame. They're born with it, Pastor. They are natural-born leaders. They came out of the womb telling the doctor how to cut the cord. Being facetious, obviously. But they're just born with it. The traits that are raw materials of leadership can be acquired. This is what you have to understand. These traits, these raw materials for what it means to be a leader, can be acquired. You can develop into a leader. Link them with a desire to be exceptional. And leadership is born even in those who aren't born with it. Think about that. There are traits that can be learned. There's things that can be developed in an individual that causes that individual who wasn't born with it for leadership to be born in them. Where they start understanding what leadership is and how leadership works and how they can too be a leader. Here's what leaders are. Leaders are long-term thinkers who see beyond the crisis of the day. This is one of those points I read, and I was like, yep, struggle right there. I get caught up on the crisis of the day. I get caught up on the here and now. I'm not always thinking beyond the crisis of the day. Leaders constantly reach beyond their particular spheres of influence. That's not me. I'm telling you, as I begin to read this book, I begin to realize, wait a second, you got some work to do. I'm not constantly reaching beyond my sphere of influence. As a matter of fact, there's sometimes Now, my wife, she's a chatty person. Y'all can laugh. She knows it. Me, I am not Mr. Talkative. And sometimes in that, people mistaken that I am not open or I am not. And I don't ever mean to be that way. I've been told by individuals, well, you're unapproachable. And I thought to myself, man, I feel like I'm the most approachable guy in the world. But evidently I'm not. Because I don't effectively communicate that to other people. They don't feel that freedom. And that's not their fault, that's my fault. I am not doing what I should be doing in some sense of the word. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to become an overly chatty person. Just hang with me. But I've got to learn. You know what? A lot of times I'm thinking, here's what happens. I'm thinking a lot about the crisis of the day. And sometimes I'm thinking about how that crisis of the day is affecting the potential future. And I have all these things going on in my mind. And I'm not really seizing the moment in the sense of being a conversationalist or really opening up and being candid and transparent. And that's a flaw. I can tell you, this is going to teach me. This is going to help me. Because there's areas where I realize I'm not constantly reaching beyond my sphere of influence. I'm trying to make sure this sphere of influence that I have is being the best it can be. And when it's not, I'm like, oh no. And I'm missing opportunities to reach beyond that. I'm missing opportunities to connect with other people. And that's on me. They put heavy emphasis on vision, values, and motivation. I got one of those three. I put a heavy emphasis on values. But I don't really put a heavy emphasis on vision or motivation like I should. Again, I'm recognizing. Leaders acquire skills to cope with often conflicting requirements, multiple people, personalities, and perceptions. Now here I try to find ways, and this is one of those areas that I think I'm pretty good with. I can recognize that there are different people with different personalities and have different perceptions about things, and so these are one of the areas that I felt like, yeah, okay, some qualities therein. And then leaders do not accept the status quo and are constantly striving to go further. Here, I gotta realize, if I had to grade myself, I don't know that I would be really passing the grade. Because I'm just maintaining a lot of times. I'm that particular sphere of influence, and I'm so concerned with that all the time. And again, it's not that that's bad, but you have to have balance. The Bible says, he that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. There's balance in life. And to understand these areas of leadership, and I look at what are the definitions, if you will, or some of the characteristics of leaders, and I say to myself, Nate, you got some work to do, man. You need to learn. You need to better develop the leader within you. Because here, there's some further defining when it comes to understanding leadership. Knowing how to do a job is the accomplishment of a laborer. The minions, those that are the worker bees, ones that are worker, the laborers, they can accomplish a job. They know how to get the job done. Well, that's a laborer. Showing others how to do a job is the accomplishment of a teacher, someone who can show someone how to do a job. Now, here's the thing. I recognize that this right here, I fall more under the line of a laborer because I'm the kind of person that I just do it myself. Instead of taking the time to teach someone else how to do it, I'll just take care of it. Making sure the job is done by others is the accomplishment of a manager. But then inspiring others to do a job better is the accomplishment of a leader. There's a difference. There's a difference. And understanding what it means. Because there's times
There's times in my life, even as pastor, honestly before God, I've knelt and said, God, I think I'd make a really good saint. I might even make a really good teacher. And I have the skills where I could manage other people to get stuff done, but Lord, when it comes to truly inspiring people to do it better, man, there's work to do. Maybe this is just candid pastor night. I don't know. But what I'm telling you is that I just in the beginning of this book, I'm like, man, this is going to be rough. You know, it's like somebody slapping you in the face with a cold towel. You're like, well, hello. I realize, wait a second, there's work in my life that needs to be done. So let me ask you this. If you had to describe leadership with one word, what would that one word be? Just one word. What would you use to describe or define leadership? Anybody? Sister Robin. Motivator. Anybody else? Without? Trustworthy. Anybody else? Motivator? Trustworthy? Sister Holly? Example. Anybody else? Personable? Dependable. Are all good. You haven't got it yet, though. Any other takers? Godly? Inspirational? Influence. The ability to obtain followers. Now, here's the thing. Here's what you got to be careful. Because in our social media-driven day, people who are not exceptional leaders can have a lot of followers, okay? But even at that, even advertising and even algorithms are situated in such a way that once people, even on social media or YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, once they reach certain levels of followers, guess what? There is attributed with those letters, with those number of followers, a certain amount of influence. You want to know why? Because then they become targets for advertising. And that's how people make money through social media and YouTube, is once they reach a certain level of followers, then they become, if you will, a marketing avenue. Why? Because the numbers indicate that there is a certain level of influence. And so if a certain number of people subscribe to that channel, then there is the potential to what? Market a product on that channel. Why? Because there's influence. Because evidently, enough has transpired where enough people have decided to attach their lives in some way, shape, or form through a subscription. Think about it. And so there is attributed with that a certain level of influence. And so companies say, hey, now that person or that channel or that avenue, that social media outlet has become a way for us to influence other people's buying decisions. And so in a sense, in a rather distorted way, they lead you and I to purchase certain products based upon the influence that a certain site or channel has. Get it? And so when you talk about leadership and its base definition, if you will, or what if you were to describe it with one word, it is influence, the ability to obtain followers. People that will attach their lives to yours in such a way that they are influenced by what you do. J.R. Miller wrote this in The Building of Character. There have been meetings of only a moment which have left impressions for life, echoing into eternity. No one can understand that mysterious thing we call influence. Yet every one of us continually exerts influence, either to heal, to bless, to leave marks of beauty, or to wound, to hurt, to poison, to stain other lives. If we have influence over anyone, you know what sociologists say? They say that the average person in their lifetime will influence or impact the lives of 10,000 other people. I don't know how they came up with that. That's what they say. But even if 10% of that is true, even if it's 1,000 people, wow. That means that I have the potential to impact and influence the lives of 1,000 other people. Impressions that only, if only for a moment, can last a lifetime, echoing all the way into eternity. That's huge. Oh, but let's look for the exception instead of the desire to be exceptional. The desire to truly be a leader, to realize that I do have impact and influence on other people's lives, and I want that impact and that influence to be the very best that it can be. If you have influence over anyone, and I dare say that we all do, there are people that are connected to our lives that we have influence. Then we have an obligation to correctly lead, to develop the leader within us. For the question is not, am I a leader, but rather, how will I use my influence to lead? Because I'm leading. There are people who are attached to my life, who are influenced by the decisions I make and the life that I live in front of them. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, hey, remember those leaders who taught you the work of God, the word of God rather, and look at their lives. Look at the good that has come from their lives and then follow them. Emulate their faith. See what they've done and how they've lived. See how they've led you according to the word of God and then emulate it yourself. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because I'm leading people. Those people that I have influence over, or maybe not over, but influence in their lives, I'm leading. I'm influencing them in ways. And I need to make sure that I'm developing the leader in me. Because the question is not, am I a leader? But the question is, how will I use my influence to lead? It's called the leadership triangle. The power triangle of leadership. This is essentially how it works. You have communication. That communication with an individual or a body of individuals or people gives a certain level of recognition. A certain level of recognition then offers a certain level of influence. Communicate, recognize, influence. As I influence, now my communication becomes that much more recognizable. And that communication that is now that much more recognizable becomes that much more influential. See how that works? And to those people that I have influence in their lives, that's why I have to be very careful how I communicate. I'm not talking about just in my words. I'm talking about in my body language, in my mannerism, in all manner of conversation, the Bible says, how I live, how I conduct my life, how I treat my family, how I am at work. All those things communicate. And they communicate things that people recognize. Either they're a good employee or they're a bad employee. Either they're here on time and they're working real hard, or they're here, or they show up late and they're playing on their phone. Guess what? You recognize. There's a you're communicating something in that. You're communicating something. You're saying something. In what you do, in your behavior, in your mannerisms, in your conversation, it's communicating something. And guess what? People are recognizing that. And guess what that's doing? It's influencing their decisions about you. Are you someone that is going to be exceptional that I should follow? Or are you going to be like me looking for the exception? Hello. Because that's where really, that's the power that comes. If we learn how to effectively communicate, people will recognize that. And in their recognition, it will influence them. And they'll say, wow, do I have it all together all the time? No. But I hope that in my interaction with other people, there is communication that causes recognition. That's one of the areas I've realized of late. I don't always communicate effectively. My wife will tell you that. I'm not a great communicator. Oh, maybe from a pulpit or behind a lectern, I do moderately well in getting my point across. But it's more than just being behind the pulpit, and it's more than just being behind a lectern. How am I effectively communicating in my everyday life? Because sometimes when I'm not talking, I'm still communicating. Sometimes my silence is speaking louder. Hello? And I don't know if Abe said it, but it's pretty wise. It's better to remain silent than be thought a fool, than to speak and remove all doubt. And so sometimes, but I got to understand, my silence sometimes communicates stuff I don't want to communicate. My silence sometimes communicates disinterest. I don't want people to think I'm disinterested. But my failure to effectively communicate causes people to recognize something that I don't want them to recognize. That I'm lost in my little sphere of influence, and I'm so focused on today's crisis. Hello? That's not leadership. So guess what? Maybe you don't, but I got a lot of areas to work on. I need to be a better communicator in the sense of communicating things that I want to get across. Because in my lack of communication, I'm communicating. Get it? In my lack of saying stuff, I'm saying a lot. I don't even recognize it. But they do. And it's influencing them. And I want to have a positive impact and positive influence on people. Five levels of leadership. Number one is at the bottom. Number five is at the top. Probably should have reordered them. Number one is the lowest level of leadership. It is simply positional. You are qualified as a leader, quote unquote, because of the position that you hold. And the weird thing is that there's a lot of people that aspire to that level of leadership. It's the lowest tier. It's the bottom. Now, next week, if this has whetted your appetite, next week we're going to talk about these five. We're going to go into detail on what these five different levels of leadership are. And I realized really quick as I begin to go down these, just in a short summary, I'm not as close to the top as I thought I was. I'm closer to the bottom. That troubles me. That awakens me to the reality that I don't want to think about. Maybe, just maybe, I'm not the effective leader that I thought I was. And there's a lot of work to be done. And it got real quiet in here. Number two is permission. Number three, production. Number four, people development. Number five, the highest level is personhood, where you almost have a persona leadership. Now we'll get into those in the detail, what those different tiers are. Most people who are in leadership rarely get past one and two. Really good ones get into three. Start producing. Upper echelons, four. They're actually developing other people to be leaders. Number five, very few people make it to level five of leadership. Well, you've already given us the exception, so I'm going to be cool with two or three. We laugh. But how many of you didn't think that? Don't raise your hand. The reality is that's exactly when we talked about that. Well, very few ever make it to personhood, so I'm not even find out what week that is. I'll just skip that one. You know, one or two, maybe I'll aspire there, but yeah. But the reality is this. It's available. It's possible. It's the question is, do I have the desire? Do I have the self-discipline? Do I have what it takes, or am I willing to acquire what it takes? Because it's there. There is nobody who is born with personhood. Nobody. That's good. Yes, you'll come back next week, maybe. It's leaders. It's that opportunity to graduate, to climb the ladder, if you will, to be an exceptional leader. A lot of people are positional leaders. They struggle to really produce, and they struggle to really develop other leaders. So we're going to talk about all that. Look at that, 7:59. It just clicked over to 8 o'clock. Effective time management. Why don't you stand to your feet? I said this in the department heads meeting, and I want to say it in a public setting. If you think that I think that I am perfect, or that I am have some kind of ego in the sense of, you know, please understand, that's not the case. I know some of y'all may smirk, but if I am not afraid of corrective criticism, if there are things in my life and things that I'm doing or things that I'm saying that is or not saying that is causing anybody to have a perception of me as being a prideful individual, I don't want that. I honestly do not want that. I don't want to manage people. I want to lead people. Just make that clear. I don't want to manage people. When people feel like they're being managed, it's no bueno. But when people feel like they're being led, that's why I've always had an issue with the purpose-driven life. You don't drive people. You lead. He's the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. I want to be a leader. I don't want to drive or feel like I'm managing people all the time. Hello. But I want to effectively lead. And God's going to have to help me. Because just in reading this book, I realized there's a lot of people who grew up, and even though my dad, and I love my dad, and I would not, please understand, I'm not speaking against my dad. But I did not grow up in an environment that there was a personhood kind of leader. I grew up in an environment with like a one or two, and I'm not demeaning that. Okay, please understand that. But I'm recognizing some of this, and I'm realizing that I've got to learn some things because they weren't emulated in front of me. And my father's a great man, and he's a great pastor, and he's a loving person. He's a God-fearing man. But there are some things that, guess what? They weren't taught to him, and so he couldn't teach them to me. But here's the thing. If I'm not born with it, but I can acquire it, guess what? I want it. Because I want to effectively lead my children. So when it's all said and done, the Lord tarries, I can say, man, I reached some high levels of leadership in their life. And I helped them be everything that they could be. And the process perpetuates. Lord Jesus, love you, God. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful, God, that moments and times, Lord, I know that this book was brought to my attention probably years ago. It's an older book, Lord. I know I've probably perused across it numerous times, but you saw fit for this time, Lord, for me to somehow open the pages and begin, Lord, and I thank you for that. Lord, help me to realize, God, the many areas of my life which I need to submit, God, to understanding and leadership and teaching, God, through your word, through the process, Lord, that I would become who you would have me to be. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.